Okay, Rabosai, after wishing everyone a Boker Tov, reminding everyone that we're looking at Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, going on to Pei Hei Amud Aleph, and we're talking about the case of removing a splinter on Shabbos with the fear that it might draw blood, which is Moleches Chabura. And the Gemara establishes that we're allowed to do so. Why are we allowed to do so? After all, there's a chashash here of a Moleches, a violation of Moleches Chovel. And the Gemara gives the answer that we hold that Mekalkel B'Chabura is Potter. Which means that drawing the blood of a person is not his goal over here. He just wants to remove the thorn. And removing the blood, drawing blood, is anything but a tikkun. In fact, it's just a kilkul. It's just weakening the person. You know, we want to keep the blood inside, not take it out. So the Gemara says, that's okay if you hold Mekalkel B'Chabura Potter. But in fact, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, for one, that Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayav. And the Gemara suggests here, moving on to Daf Pehei Amud Aleph, that even according to Rav Shimon, removing the dam would not be a violation of Melech HaShabbos because it's a Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa. In other words, Tzricha LeGufa in the case of Chovel would be where I need the dam. We gave an example from Ksubis the other day. But in this case, he doesn't need the dam at all. So therefore, it's a Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa. Okay then? So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay. Yehuda, are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So now we have Tosis, Dibra Amaschil Man, which is on the bottom of Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. And Tosis, after presenting a review of Rashi Shita as to how we know that Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon argue about Moleches Chabura, whether or not Yochayev B'Mekalkel or not. And Rashi says it depends upon their old Machlokes regarding Moloch HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa. So after presenting that whole thesis of Rashi, Tosis proceeds to ask three kashas on Rashi. Let's review the three objections of Tosis against Rashi. His first kasha is, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Vav establishes that according to Rabbi Avo, Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayev. Rabbi Avo quotes a Braisa, and that Braisa is of the opinion that, again according to Rashi, Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa Patur, and therefore Mekalkel, insofar as it's Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa, is going to be a Mekalkel situation. And Rabbi Yochanan responds in a very harsh way, and he says, Puk Tani Livra, take that Brisa and throw it out. And the reason for that is because Chovel needs a Tikkun. And Chovel is not going to be Chayev in a Mekalkel situation. So you cannot set up a Brisa that maintains Chutz Michovel Umafir. There's no such thing as Chutz Michovel Umafir. And according to Rashi, this is very difficult. Why should Rabbi Yochanan have responded with such a harsh attack against this brice of Rabbi Avo, Puk Tani Livra? After all, according to Rashi's Pshat, Puk, the brice of Rabbi Avo, simply reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that Moloch HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa is Potter. So what's so terrible if Rabbi Avo invokes a brice that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon? That's not a problem. So why, again, in summarizing kasha number one, does Rabbi Yochanan say Puk Tani Livra? Then we get to kasha number two, and he doesn't understand this business of Tzarech LeKalbo, that in the case where, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he takes his victim's blood in order to feed his kelev, and Rabbi Yochanan adopts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa Chayav, If that be the case, then Chovel Vitzorech LeKalbo, according to Rabbi Yochanan, based on Rabbi Yehuda, is simply an application of the universal rules that apply to all Malachos, to the case of Chovel and to the case of Mavir, meaning that in all Malachos you require Malachas Tikkun. He has to have a Tzorech, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, even a Tikkun study makes it into a Tikkun. So if it's Tzorech LeKalbo, then basically you're simply applying the rules that operate with regard to all the other Malachos to the cases of Chovel and Mavir. So then why does the Braisa, which Rabbi Yochanan is trying to justify, why does it say Kol HaMakalkul Pturim Chutz miChovel uMavir, meaning to say that Chovel uMavir are exceptions to the rule, and even if it's not Mekalkel, I'm sorry, even if it is Mekalkel, nevertheless you're Chayev. What do you mean it's Mekalkel? It's not Mekalkel. Rabbi Yochanan is interpreting this price as referring to Tzorech LeKalbo. If it's Tzorech LeKalbo, and we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that Malach Shein Tzrich LeGuf is Chayev, then this is not called a Kilkul. This is called a Tikkun. Because again, as we discussed at great length, Rabbi Yehuda in his Malach Shein Tzrich LeGuf is Chayev broadens the definition of Tzorech and validates any Tzorech that a person has. And therefore, if I have a Tzorech for the Dam, for what? For my Kelev, or for the Havara, I have a Tzorech for whatever I have a Tzorech for, and we gave three possibilities. Then in the broader definition of Tzorech, which is accepted by Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Malacha She'tzricha, not Lagufa, but Tzricha, and if it's a Malacha She'tzricha, then it's a Maleches Tikkun, and not a Maleches Mekalkel. So why are you telling me Chutz Michovel Umavir? That Chovel Umavir is different, you chayv, even though it's Mekalkel. It's not Mekalkel. So the language of the Braisa is very difficult. At this point, before we get to the third kasha, which is perhaps the most challenging kasha, I just want to mention that in the past, we've discussed the answer to this kasha, the second kasha. And that was in the name of the Tosus Rid. I just want to reiterate the Tosus Rid. The Tosus Rid claims that when Rabbi Yochanan says the Imtim Tzolomer Mishnah, and he tries to make some sense out of the Braisa of Rabbi Abo, he's not referring to the Braisa of Rabbi Abo. When he says Imtim Tzolomer, and if you'll ask me Mishnah, he's referring to Mishnayis, two Mishnayis in fact, one in Perek HaMeniach, which is in Bava Kama Lamed Daled Omid Beis, and the other is in Perek HaChovil, in the same Masechta Bava Kama Daf Pei Zayin Omid Aleph. And there you have two Mishnayis that assume that you're Chayev from Maleches Mavir, from Maleches Chover, respectively, even though they are Makalkil. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no such thing as Chutz Mi Chovel Mavir. Rabbi Yochanan adopts the position that even in the case of Chovel Mavir, I require a Maleches Tikkun. And yet the Gemara says, in two scenarios, one is in Perek HaMeniach, where he burns down someone's haystack on Shabbos. The other is in Perek HaChovel, where he beats up a guy and draws his blood on Shabbos. And in both cases, the Mishnayis assume that he's Chayev Misa. He's Chayev for a capital crime, if he did it B'mezid, or if he did it B'shogeg, it's Chayev Misa Shogegin. For Maleches Mavir, for Maleches Chovel, even though burning down someone's haystack is clearly a Kilkul. And beating someone up until you draw his blood is certainly a kilkul, and yet the Mishnah, both Mishnahs assume that he's chayev. So on that, Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'imtim tzolomer Mishnah." And if you'll tell me, what do I do with these two Mishnahs? How can I justify the chovel u'mavir like all the other malachas requires a tikkun? When in those two Mishnahs, he's either burning down someone's haystack or he's beating the living daylights out of him. And the Mishnahs both assume that he's chayev. The answer is that those are cases where he was mavir v'tzorech liafro, or chovel v'tzorech lidamo. He needs the dam. So in both those cases, it's not a maleches kilkul, but rather maleches tikkun. So Tosus's second kasha is based on a premise which Rashi maybe never accepted. And that premise is that when Rabbi Yochanan said V'imtim Tzolomer Mishnah, and he was trying to answer a question, the question was, what do I do with the Braisa of Rabbi Avoh? And the truth is that Rabbi Yochanan never meant to make any sense out of the Brisa of the Ravo, because the Brisa of the Ravo cannot be maintained, it cannot be justified, because Chovel of Mavril, like all the other 37 Malachas, according to Rabbi Yochanan, require Tikkun. But Rabbi Yochanan was relating to two Mishnayos in a different Masechta, the Masechta Bava Kama, that was the Tosfos Rid. So basically, we can remove the middle kash of Tosfos from the list of three kashes. The first kash of Tosfos is still a very difficult one. Namely, why is Rabbi Avo held so guilty for quoting a brisa that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? That's not tragic. And now we get to the third kash of Tosfos, just to face the perhaps the most challenging of Tosfos kashes. And in order to appreciate this kasha, the Gemara says that you're allowed, here in Sanhedrin, you're allowed to remove a thorn on Shabbos, and in the worst case scenario, if you accidentally remove his blood, that's not a violation of Meleches Chabura. And why not? First, the Gemara says because it's Mekalkel. Then the Gemara says, well, what about Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon holds Mekalkel, but Chabura is Chayav. So the Gemara says, even according to Reb Shimon, he's going to be potter in this case where he draws blood as a result of removing the thorn, because it's a Melech Shenitzricha Ligufa. You see clearly, says Tosfos, that even in the case of Mekalkel, b'chabura, according to Reb Shimon, you still could have a Melech Shenitzricha Ligufa. Now, according to Rashi, that's not so, because Rashi tells us that Rabbi Shimon is Mechayev in a case of Mekalkel b'chovel, even though it's a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa, right? The whole point of Rashi was that Mavir and Chovel, by definition, are both considered Mekalkel. And why? Because Reb Shimon holds that Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa Potter. And since it's a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa Potter, which means that the Torah never recognizes his particular subjective Tzorech, the Torah needs an objectified Tzorech, which is called Legufa. In the cases of Mavir Mekalkel, we don't have that objective Tzorech. We only have his subjective Tzorech. That's not a Tzorech, according to the Halacha, because Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa Potter, according to Reb Shimon. And therefore, Reb Shimon says that in the cases of Chovel and Mavir, it's Mekalkel. Now the Gemara is saying that even in a case of Mekalkel, there will be a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa, possibly. That doesn't make any sense, because the whole reason why Reb Shimon says Yechayev from Mekalkel and Chovel and Mavir is because of his position, again according to Rashi, because of his position of Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa Potter. So how can you turn around now and say that Mavir and Chovel are Chayev, even though it was Kilkul, and then say no, he's Potter? Why is he Potter? Because of Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. That's antithetical to Rashi. Rashi says because Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa is Potter, that's why Mekalkel in these two Melachas is Chayav. And that's the third kasha of Tosfos. So again, all this is based on our discussion of yesterday. I want to point out that we can sharpen and intensify Tosfos' third kasha by saying the following. That according to Rashi Shita, Mekalkel, by definition, is a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. What does Mekalkel mean? Mivanavshach. If I need the Gufa Shel Melacha, that's called Tikkun. So what is Mekalkel where I don't need the Gufa Shel Melacha? Every case, therefore, of Mekalkel, by definition, is a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. And our Gemara here in Sanhedrin is analyzing the cases of Chovel, of Mekalkel. Is it Tzricha Legufa? Is it not Tzricha Legufa? And even though Chovel is Chayav according to Reb Shimon in the case of Mekalkel, the Gemara still wants to say, well, maybe it's a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. So here in Sanhedrin, we have a case of Mekalkel, which is a Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa, implying that if we would have we could have a Mekalkel that is Tzricha Legufa. Now, according to Rashi, that's a contradiction, mean Eube, as we say. Because you could never have a situation, according to Rashi, which is Mekalkel and Tzricha Legufa. The very moment that it's Tzricha Legufa, then by definition, it's a Melechas Tikkun, and not a Melechas Kilkul. So again, according to Rashi, that Tzricha Legufa would be, by definition, a Melechas Tikkun. then tzricha legufa could never apply in a makalkel situation. Makalkel is always going to be a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So how can the Gemara now analyze the case of makalkel in chovel and say, well, is it tzricha legufa? Is it not tzricha legufa? The Gemara vacillates about that. It's impossible, because if it's makalkel, that means that it's ena tzricha legufa. So we have, according to Rashi, a clear cut equation here between Makalkel and Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa, whereas the Gemara is operating here in Sanhedrin Pei Heyam and Aleph with the assumption that even if it's a Makalkel, let's analyze, is it Tzricha Legufa, is it ena Tzricha Legufa? And although Makalkel according to Rav Shimon is Chayav in Chofel, but nevertheless the Gemara says if it's Eina Tzricha Legufa, it's Potter. What do you mean if it's Eina Tzricha Legufa? That doesn't make any sense. Because Malacha She'eina Tzricha Legufa is Makalkel. And on that Rav Shimon addresses it and says, you're Chayav. So you can't tell me, well, it's a Malacha She'eina Tzricha Legufa, therefore you're Potter. Rav Shimon holds, according to Rashi, that Malacha She'eina Tzricha Legufa makes Chovel into a Makalkel, and that's why you're Chayav for Chovel. So you can't turn around and say, no, he's going to be Potter in the case of Chovel because it's a Malacha She'eina Tzricha Legufa. There's a contradiction in terms here. That's the perhaps most profound kasha of Tosus against Rashi. So what do we have on schedule for today? We have the Ramban. The Ramban has a book of Chidushim, and we now want to learn the Ramban's Chidushim in Masechta Shabbos. So we're going now back to Masechta Shabbos, the Perek Ha'oreg, Daf Kuvav, and we're looking at the Ramban.
Where is it? Have you got this?
Yeah, right here behind you, Harvey. No?
Sanhedrin.
Okay, so we don't know where the Ramban is. That's our problem. I would give you, Harvey, gladly my copy of the Ramban.
You can share this one.
Oh, David, you can share it? Okay, share it, and then we'll make a photocopy later. Because I really need my copy right now, and I don't want to be selfish. I just want to be able to say the Shia. That's all. All right. So, in this Ramban, he presents Rashi Shita in the sugya on Daf Kufav, and then he proceeds to ask kashas on the sheet of Rashi, and in a certain sense, he's reviewing the kashas of Tosus. But what we find fascinating here about this Ramban is that he adds a whole new kasha which Tosus didn't even ask against Rashi, and this is what we call a kasha misvara, a logical kasha. So he says like this: Verashi atzmos al kosev de chovil v'tzarch lekabel Rav Yehuda kevan de mesakin hu etzal akelev ki hay gavna malachahu. According to Rashi, Rav Yehuda's shita is based on the fact that tzarch lekalbo, which is what we call ena tzrich legufa, is chayav. In other words, the Torah recognizes the broader definition of tzarech, and if that be the case, then if he has a tzarech, it becomes a meleches tikkun, because the Torah validates the fact that he, in a very subjective way, needs this malach. So if he benefits from beating someone up and drawing blood from his victim because he needs that blood for his own purposes, that makes chovel into a meleches tikkun, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the tzorech lekalbo, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a valid tzorech, which the Torah recognizes as Rabbi Yehuda says, malach shein tzricha legufa chay. V'zeh apirish eino nachon. The Ramban rejects Rashi. De'i Rabbi Avo ki Rabbi Shimon. If, according to Rashi, the cheshbon is that Rabbi Avo's brisa, who says that Yechayev for chovel, even when it's a meleches kilkul, reflects the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that malach shein tzricha legufa is potur, hechi mashtik lei Rabbi Yochanan. How can Rabbi Yochanan shut up Rabbi Avo and tell him, Puk Tani Livra, take this brisa and throw it out? Why is that so? If that brisa is predicated on the shita of Rav Shimon, then it's a valid brisa. You know, we throw out a brisa if we think that it's mishubeshta, it's completely incorrect, and there's no way of validating it. But if a brisa reflects the shita of one particular Tana, And by the way, according to all Rishonim except for the Rama, we paskin like that Tana, namely Reb Shimon in Malacha Sheni Tzricha Lagufa Potur. So how can Reb Yochanan be so aggressive and so harsh with Reb Yavo's Bryson and say throw it out? And the Ramban goes on to quote the Gemara Chulin, which Tosfos made reference to, that the Gemara says in a rhetorical question, "V'rav mishum desvirle kirab Yehuda man tani kirab Meir shtukim mashtik." Since so, Rav told someone, "Take your brisa and throw it out." So the Gemara says, "Why did Rav get so harsh with him? That brisa reflects the shita of Rabbi Meir." True, Rav didn't accept that shita of Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but nevertheless, he had no right to say, "Throw out that brisa." So you see that when a brisa is based on one particular shita, whether a particular amora accepts that shita in that brisa or accepts a different shita amongst the tanoim, he doesn't have the right, he's not within his jurisdiction to throw out such a brisa. So how could Rabbi Yochanan attack Rabbi Avol's brisa and say puk tani livra simply because that brisa doesn't fit in with his shita, Rabbi Yochanan's shita, that based on Rabbi Yehuda that Makalkel b'chavura is potter. Okay, Makalkel b'chavura is chayev, and that's a valid shita. You, Rabbi Yochanan, don't have to accept it. You can stand on the shoulders of Rabbi Yehuda, but the Braisa stands on the shoulders of Rabbi Shimon and accepts the view that Makalkel b'chavura is chayev. So don't tell me that puk tani livra viod, and furthermore, dila Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, afilu chovel umavir, boy shetehe hamalacha tzricha legufa. Okay, I'm reading the perek. Kol kisve. Even Rabbi Shimon, who holds that chovel umavir, according to Rashi, is chayav be mekalkel. Nevertheless, he needs it to be a malacha sheni tzricha legufa. That's the proof that Tosfos adduced, and the Ramban is going to bring in a few lines from the sugya in Sanhedrin that we studied. The Ramban has a proof from a sugya in Masechet Shabbos that Rav Shimon requires a malacha tzricha legufa even in the cases of chovel umavir. El olav, Rabbi Shimon, the malacha shen tzricha legufa poter olei. The Gemara there in Masechet Shabbos in two places, speaking about a case which we won't get into now. You can look that up later on because I don't want to get distracted. Of putting someone to death on Shabbos, that's Onshei Misa on Shabbos. In that context, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon holds that he should be potter in this case. Why would the Torah prohibit it? After all, Rabbi Shimon holds Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa potter. Why did the Torah have to prohibit Onshim? It's a case of Eino Tzricha Legufa. Even though there we're talking about a malacha of mavir, which according to Reb Shimon, the way Rashi understands it, he's chayef for even a kilkul. So if he's chayef for even a kilkul, how could the Gemara therefore say that he's going to be potter according to Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon is the one who says makalka b'chabur is chayef. Now you're going to tell me that he's potter in that case of chovel b'makalkel because it was ein etzricha legufa? On the contrary, if it's ein etzricha legufa, that's why he's chayev in this case, because in ein etzricha legufa, according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't justify itself as a malachas tikkun, because ein etzricha legufa means a tikkun study. It's not inherent in the malacha. Alma, we see from the Gemara that afilu b'makalkel b'chabura, and we're talking about Rabbi Shimon, who holds, according to Rashi, that Mekalka B'chabur is Chayav, Be'inon Malach HaTzricha L'Gufa, we still require Malach HaTzricha L'Gufa, and therefore, in the case of Mekalka B'chabur, if it's Eino Tzricha L'Gufa, Rav Shimon is going to say, you're Potur. And the same conclusion will prove from the Gemara B'Perek, Ewe Nachnokim, which is the 10th parak in Masechet Sanhedrin, the Amrinon V'hot, Tnan, Machet Shal Yad, Lito Bo'as HaKotz. The Gemara says, how are you allowed to remove a thorn on Shabbos? Lechush, we should be afraid. Dilma Chavale, maybe he'll take out blood. Umitarates, and the Gemara answers, Hasam I l'Rabbi Yehuda Makalka b'chabura, hi ve'i l'Rabbi Shimon Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufahi u'potele Alma. We see again the same conclusion is proven, that even according to Rav Shimon, who holds Makalkel B'chabura is Chayev, nevertheless, in such a case of Makalkel B'chabura will be Potur if it's a Malach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa. And that's antithetical to Rashi, because the whole reason why Rav Shimon holds that Makalkel B'chabura is Chayev is because Lachshen Yitzrich Liguf is Potur, because the Torah doesn't recognize that Tikkun study, and therefore every case of Chovel U'Mavir is going to be a Makalkel. What do you mean it's a Makalkel? Okay, I'm hurting this guy, I'm weakening this guy, I'm burning down something, fine, but I need it, I have my purposes. No, your purposes, although my level of more, they don't register on the radar screen. And therefore, we're left with a makalkel. So let's understand this again. Both mavir, burning, and chovil, and knocking someone and taking his blood out, are both destructive malachas. Ella, what you can say, but I need it. You know, I'm going to beat this guy up, but I need his blood, right? I'm a bloodsucker. I'm going to burn this guy's haystack down, but I need the afer. I need the ashes. Well, that's a malach shenit tzrich l'gufa. So that cannot possibly convert mavir or chovel into a malach tikkun. Malach tikkun would have to be b'gufa shel malach, right? There's a tzorech in the malach itself, not some sort of side benefit that I enjoy from this malacha. And that's why Reb Shimon proves and concludes that in the cases of Mavir and Chovel Yechayv, even though it's a Mekalkel. Now you can't turn around and say, well, okay, it's a Mekalkel, but it's a malacha Shein Yitzrich L'Gufa. It was because it's a malacha Shein Yitzrich L'Gufa that we established it as a Mekalkel, and that's why we said that Yechayv according to Reb Shimon. So all these kashas we've seen in Tosfos, plus the kasha about what was the middle kasha again? That why did the brisa of Rabbi Avo, according to Rabbi Yochanan, say chutz michovel amavir? Rashi learns that chutz michovel amavir is according to Rabbi Yehuda that malach shen tzrich l'guf is chayv, and he needs the chabura for his kelev. He needs the sreifa for the mitzvah of sreifas bas kohen. And yet the Gemara has a brisa which classifies chovel amavir as exceptions to the rule. But they're not exceptions to the rule. The reason why in those cases you're chayav is because it's a malacha tzricha, albeit it's not tzricha legufa, but we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds malacha and tzricha legufa chayav. But it's not a malacha kilkul because he needs it. And if he needs it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we validate his tzorech, and his subjective need for the malacha converts the malacha into a malachas tikkun. So basically, chovel and mavra are exactly the same as the balance of the list of 39. That kasha somehow, as far as I could tell, got lost here in the Ramban, but here v'chein, here's where the Ramban had a kasha that Tosis didn't have on Rashi. V'chein zu sha'amar Rashi zal atzmo de'en l'cha mavir she'eno makalkel. Okay, here I need a Gemara Shabbos, but we'll just say it over from memory because we don't have time. The situation is a little bit difficult. Gemara Shabbos daf kuvav amud aleph with Rashi. Oh, you have it? Great, thank you so much. We have to improve the situation now. I'm going to try to bring in another copy of Masechet Shabbos. So if anybody has a copy of Masechet Shabbos that we can put here on the shelves, because right now there's only one copy of the Masechet Shabbos, and the whole kol is learning Shabbos. It's impossible to find Masechet Shabbos. So Rashi has a very interesting presentation here in Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph Divrei HaMaskil Ubraisa Rabbi Shimon Hi. When the Gemara says that the Braisa of Rabbi Avo should be attributed to Rabbi Shimon, and the reason for that is because chutz michovel umavri yechayv and chovel umavri, even though it's a maleches kilkul, that's going to be Rabbi Shimon. So Rashi says, what forces the Gemara to assume that Rabbi Shimon holds that chovel umavir or chayev, even though it's malachas kilkul? We don't find anywhere that Rabbi Shimon made such a statement. And Rashi says the Gemara deduced it logically. The Omar Rabbi Shimon holds malachas and tzrich legufa potter alei. Hilchach, Rashi says, ein lecha chovel umavir sheinu makalkel. Now, how does Rashi arrive at this conclusion that every case of chovel umavir, by definition, is makalkel? I mean, maybe I'm lighting a fire, on Shabbos because I need to cook my pot on this fire, or I need to warm up my body in a very cold winter day. Why? How does Rashi know that by definition Mavir is always going to be a Meleches Kilkul? So Rashi says, Ve'afilu Mavir Eitzim L'Kderoso, even if he's burning a fire in order to place his pot on the fire, Makalkel Hu Eitzel Eitzim. The malacha of Mavir is burning the Eitzim. And Rashi says the Eitzim are being destroyed. They're going up in smoke. And therefore he's destroying something. That's going to be a Makalka. Narvas, you're going to tell me, wait a minute. He needs this burning because he's going to cook his food. That's a malacha sheni tzricha legufa. Because the gufa shel malacha is the Mavir on the Eitzim. And as far as the Mavir on the Eitzim is concerned, certainly it's a Meleches Kilkul. Says Rashi, you'll tell me that as a result of this fire, he's able to cook his pot on the fire. Says Rashi, that's called a Melech Sheni Tzricha Legufa. That's already a Tzorech study, not a Tzorech in the Eitzim themselves, but a Tzorech for his Kedera. So the food needs the fire, but the Eitzim are yelling and screaming, hey, you're burning us, we're going up in smoke. And that makes it into a Melech Sheni Tzricha Legufa. So on that, the Ramban says, V'chein zu shama Rashi zal v'atzmo, the Eilucha Mavir She'ena Makalkil. Every case of Mavir is Makalkil. Afilu Mavir Eitzim Levashel Kedera. He's burning wood in order to create a campfire for his pot. And therefore, it's by definition a Meleches Kilkul. And the Tzorch that he needs for the pot is called Eina Tzricha Legufa, which is Potter according to Shimon. Eino Noch. Rashi's not correct. You know, this reminds me of the Ramban al Torah. You know, left and right, he says "V'eino nochon" about Rashi. You know, to argue with Rashi takes a lot of gumption. But in Shas, here we have a case where the Ramban is saying "Eino nochon" about Rashi. Why? Shari gufa shal eish tzarech lo. What is meleches mavir? When in every malach, you want to ask the question is, Tzricha legufa. What is gufa? Gufa means the object that's upon which this malacha is being done, right? If I improve this table, the table becomes the gufa shel malacha. And if I make cheese, then the cheese becomes the gufa shel malacha. What's the gufa shel malacha in the case of Mavir? And the Ramban's answer to that question is what? The Eish. The Eish itself is the Gufa Shemalacha. And the Eish for sure is Tzarech Lo. He needs the Eish. He's benefiting from the Eish. Either to cook his food on the Eish or to warm up his body with this warmth of the Eish. That makes it into a Malacha Tzricha LeGufa. Yeah. Pretty wild, though, this Ramban is. He's really getting down to basics.
There's a Braita, like, and maybe a Mishnah, where everybody adds on to the Eish, and each one is doing a new Melacha, right?
Well, that's a brilliant question that Shmuel is raising. But I'll tell you why it's not relevant to us, but it's a brilliant question. No, what happens? The Gemara in Shabbos says that you could have five people that are chayav for cooking one pot. Okay, then? And one person brings the Eitzim, he brings the wood, then the other person brings the fire, and the third person puts the pot on the fire, and the fourth person mixes the food on that's cooking in the fire. Everyone's chayav. So Shmuel says, you see clearly that the malacha is in the fire, because one of the people lit the fire, and then another person puts a pot on the fire. Again, assuming they work in cahoots, that's a complicated business, but he's chayav for burning the fire, even though he's burning the Eitzim. So l'chora, that proves the Ramban Shita, that afilu mavir Eitzim levashel kedera is going to be a malacha tzricha legufa, because he needs the fire. I'll tell you what the answer is.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, at least according to Rashi. The one who lights the fire is not chayav for meleches mavir. He's lighting up the Eitzim, and he's destroying the Eitzim. But there's another malacha on the list. What's the other malacha on the list? Mevashel. Cooking is a malacha. So we have cooking and lighting a fire. They're two separate malachas in the minyan, in the counting of 39 malachas. When the Gemara says that somebody who turns on the fire and then someone else cooks on that fire, then even the one who turned on the fire is chayav. That's because he's participating in which malacha? Mavasha malachas bishul. As far as mavir is concerned, would he be chayav? Well, the answer is it should depend upon Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon, because every mavir, insofar as I destroy the eitzim, is going to be a malacha shenit tzricha legufa. As far as the eitzim is concerned, there's no tzorech, and therefore it becomes malachas kilkul. But Reb Shimon is going to say that mavir is chayav even for a malachas kilkul.
But that's only if they're in
cahoots. Yeah, that, again, that's a sugi which we're not learning now. Yeah, they have to work together in unison and each one participates. That's a very complicated sugi. It's called Shnaim Shasu. But that's not for us now. Let's not get off on a tangent. What I just want to tell you, Rabbi Osai, is that the Ramban is saying that Meleches Mavir is a Melech that's done to the object that is burnt, is being burnt. You know, combustible as a nifal, blush nifal, that is combusted. I don't know if there's such a word. My wife is always correcting my English. Anyway,
incinerated,
that which goes up in smoke. That object is certainly a Melech Hashem Tzricha Legufa. That's how Rashi understood Mavir. And therefore, Mavir, when you burn Eitzim, no matter what your need is, as far as the Melech of Mavir is concerned, the Chef to the Gufa Shel Melecha is the Eitzim. And the Eitzim is going up in smoke, and therefore it's a Meleches Kilkul. Why is it a Meleches Kilkul? Because Reb Shimon holds Meleches Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter, and therefore the Torah is not going to recognize your Tzorech for, even though it's an obvious need for this fire, you're going to put the pot on the fire, but nevertheless, that's not going to convert the Mavir of the Eitzim into a Meleches Tzricha Legufa. Mavir of the Eitzim, according to Rashi, always remains a Meleches Shein Tzricha Legufa. And if the Torah doesn't recognize that Tzorech, it becomes a Meleches Kilkul. Comes along the Ramban, he says, Nein, Rashi is making a major blunder. The Melech of Mavir is not the Eitzim, but rather the Eish. And he needs that Eish. In other words, even though, you know, even though he's burning Eitzim, but at the very moment that he's burning Eitzim, he's creating a fire. That's what Mavir is all about. Mavir has nothing to do with burning Eitzim or whatever object he uses for combustion. Mavir is about creating a fire. That's what Mavir is by definition. So therefore, the Chefta Shavalacha, the Gufa Shavalacha is the Eish. And as far as the Eish is concerned, the Eish is necessary for V'chein Mavir L'schamim. He needs the Eish not only in the case of a cooker who needs it to cook on, but in the case of a freezing winter day, and he needs the campfire to warm himself up.
Chovel has got no parallel to that. Chovel is.
So again, let's wait for just a minute to get to Chovel. Let's first see if we can survive Mavir. Excellent question, David, but I just want to go step by step. Now the Ramban invokes a principle which appears all over Shas. And that's called Hana'asu Bir'uron Shoven. Actually, the source, the root for this phrase, this principle of Hanasu Birun Shoven is in Masechta Shvi'is, which is the seventh year in the Shemitah cycle. But before we get to that, let's just say the following. The Ramban is asking himself the following question. How can you tell me that the Eish is the Gufa Shel Melech of Mavir? That's impossible. Although the Eish is created as a result of the burning, but the burning itself is burning the wood. And after he burns the wood, then he benefits from the Eish. So that you cannot tell me that the Melech itself is on the Eish. There is no Eish. Adarav, he's creating an Eish. So the Melech that he's doing is burning the wood. And that's the Gufa Shel Melech. And Rashi is right. So the Ramban says, I'll prove to you that I'm right and Rashi's wrong. How do I prove this? By invoking a principle called Hana'asan Ubiuran Shavin. Mm-hmm. Right, you might ask me a question like, for example, Chorish, if he plows the ground, that's one of the 39 Melochas, correct? So the you know, where's the Hanoi here? What's the benefit, the Tikkun of the Melocha? The answer is because he's planning to plant in those furrows. And why is that called a Melocha Tzricha Legufa? Because the benefit that he's going to get from the planting is directly resulting from the harisha. Hanasan ubir and shavin means that if through the beer, through the combustion of in this case the eitzim of the wood, he gets his hana, he gets the eish. That's what he wants. What does he want here from this, from burning of the wood? He doesn't want to burn the wood. Obviously, that's going to be financially detrimental. But he wants the eish. And if he wants the eish is created simultaneously with the biur. Biur means the burning of the eitzim. Now, whenever at the moment of biur, you also enjoy the hana, so it means that we view this as simultaneity, as if simultaneous with the burning of the wood, he gets the benefit of the eish. And that's considered a malach atzricha legufa. So now we have, on the list of kashas against Rashi, the list is growing. We only had three kashas in Tosus, but now when we add the Ramban to the picture, let me just give this back to Don for a moment, for the time being.
Can you write that one phrase on the board?
Yeah. Which phrase?
The concept here is...
Of Hanosin, Ubira, and Shavin?
Whatever.
Yeah, but I don't... You know what? I think that that this is already beyond our beyond the purview, but I'll write it anyway.
Okay.
It's called Hana Asan Ubi Uran Shavin. The word Shavin means simultaneous, and sometimes simultaneous. Sometimes at the very second, the very split second that you are destroying something, you benefit from it. Right, for example, in certain cases of shvius, even wood that's chopped down from a tree has kedushas shvius. And again, you know, this is very complicated, but accept the following principle: you're not allowed to have hanoah from atzei shvius. Okay, that's probably not true, but in a theoretical sense, and the reason why I can't use atzei shvius to make a fire and then cook my pot on the fire is because the creation of the fire, which is called the hanoah, in other words, the benefit that he gets from burning this shvius wood is because of the hanoah of eish, right, of getting a fire, that's considered shoven, meaning it's simultaneous with the actual biur. And since in this case he's not allowed to destroy the the atzei shvius, if at that moment he gets hana, then it's considered as if that hana took place exactly at the time of biur. Okay, this requires mesechta shvius, which is, that's one of the most complicated mesechtas in Shas, because there's no Yerushalmi, there's only Bavli, and I have a friend of mine who wrote an entire sefer on one halacha in shvius. He wrote an entire sefer, which is called the Achla Velo L'Schara, if you ever heard of that. You're not allowed to do business with pairs of shvius. So let's just review. Now we have four kashas. We have Tosus's three kashas, and now on to boot, we have the Ramban's kasha, and the Ramban's kasha is a Svaradika kasha. That why does Rashi assume that Mavir, by definition, is a Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, based on Rav Shimon, therefore it becomes a Maleches Mekalkel, and even in the case where he burns wood in order to create a fire, and he needs the fire, that's still called Ein Etzricha L'Gufa, and therefore it's a Maleches Mekalkel. That's not so. You can definitely assume that if he burns trees or wood on Shabbos and he wants to use the fire for cooking his pot or warming his body, that for sure is a malacha tzricha legufa, because the gufa shel malacha is not the eitzim, as Rashi would have it, but rather the gufa shel malacha is the eish itself, according to the Ramban. So if, according to Rashi, every case of Mavir Eitzim, even for the sake of putting food on the fire, is considered a Malach Hashem Yitzrich L'Gufa, then the Gemara should have derived a Malacha of Mavir from a different Pasuk. What does that mean? Mavir, on the list of 39... Malachos, is a very unique case, because in addition to Mishkan, which is the source for all the Malachos, we have a special separate source for Maleches Mavir. Does anybody remember what that pasuk is? That pasuk. Excellent. Lo sevaru eish b'chomo shoseichem yom Shabbos. That was a sticky point in a different argument between the tzedukim and the prushim. But if we assume that pasuk itself, that lav that says lo sevaru eish b'chomo shoseichem, that the Torah prohibits havara b'Shabbos, is that itself considered a maisa kilkul? That's very odd. In other words, if the Gemara wants to derive a malacha as a kilkul, and in the case of Mavir, the Gemara presents the thesis that how do we know that Mavir, even as a makalkil, is chayv according to Reb Shimon from Sreifas Bas Kohen, right? So forget about Sreifas Bas Kohen. Let's talk about the pasuk Lo Sevaru Eish B'Chol Mosh V'Seichem. Again, according to Rashi, that every single case of what? Every single case of Mavir is by definition a kilkul. Why? Because it's a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Guf. And even when he's burning his Eitzim in order to create a fire, Nevertheless, it is called a kilkul because it's a malacha sheina tzricha legufa, and the eitzim are going up in smoke. If that be the case, then why does Reb Shimon have to stretch his arm out in order to prove that mavir is even though it's a mekalkel yochayev, he has to stretch his arm out to the case of what? Sreifas Bas Kohen. Forget about Sreifas Bas Kohen. It's explicit in the pasuk. And why is it explicit in the pasuk? Because of Lo Sevaru Eish B'Chol Mosh V'Seichem. You be able to hear me? Okay, good. I don't know, there was a problem here. Anyway, that's the question of the Ramban. And Ramban is absolutely convinced, therefore, that Meleches Mavir is not necessarily Mekalkel from the perspective of Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa, because in fact it might be a Melacha Tzricha L'Gufa. And the reason for that is because he needs the Eish. And the Ramban is of the opinion that essentially the Guf HaMelacha of Meleches Mavir is not the Eitzim, but rather the Eish. That's what we have so far. So again, just to summarize this machlokas here between Rashi and the Ramban about Meleches Mavir, what is the gufa shel melacha of Meleches Mavir? Is it creating the fire? That's the Ramban shita, and therefore it's melacha tzrich legufa. Or is it the eitzim, burning the eitzim, which makes it into a melacha she'ena tzrich legufa, and according to Rashi, therefore, it becomes a makalkel. Okay then? Now, we're back to Tosfos on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. So what we're up to is the third line of the wide lines in Tosfos, Al Kein Nireh. Does everybody have the place? So again, up until Al Kein Nireh, Tosfos was very destructive, pardon the pun, and he undermines the sheet of Rashi with a three-pronged attack. The Ramban goes even further and adds a fourth kasha. So now everything is fine, except for now Tosfos has to be a little bit more constructive, and he's got to come up with a substitute interpretation of the sugya. And again, let's go back to square one. What was bothering Rashi? What was the original takeoff of Rashi? Rashi didn't understand. How did the Gemara know that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Mekalkel B'Chabura, and Rabbi Shimon holds Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayav, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Mekalkel B'Chabura is Potter? We have no tradition to that effect, and therefore Rashi sent us back to Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. But in the case of Mekalkel, in the case of Chovel as a Mekalkel, Rashi says what was the language of Rashi? Lowest parish hecha, right? Rashi says we never found out how the Gemara knew that Reb Shimon would hold that chovel b'chabura b'makalkel is chayav, and Reb Yehuda holds chovel b'makalkel is pot. We have no We have no source for that. Al kein nira. This is what you call a stum in Tosfos. You know, sometimes Tosfos quotes one of the Bali at Tosfos. Here he just says Al kein nira. De Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon Polik, Pligi. The entire machlokas between Rabbi Avov and Rabbi Yochanan revolves around Rabbi Shimon. They both accepted the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And now they have a debate about Rabbi Shimon. According to the shita of Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon went as far as to say that even if it's a total, complete kilkul, in the case of Mavrim and Chovil, he's chayv. And that was something that was unacceptable for Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Avo ki Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Avo accepts Rabbi Shimon, and he assumes that since Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is potur, Makalkil b'chabura is chayav, even if it's a case of a kilkul gomur, and that was the brisa chutz michovel mafia. That's Rabbi Shimon. Again, we don't know where this Rabbi Shimon comes from. We don't know where Tosfos still hasn't addressed the question of Rashi. What's the source for committing Rabbi Shimon to that position that makalkil b'chabura is chayav? Rabbi Yochanan sofar dafilu Rabbi Shimon. Boy tikun ktsas. And as we mentioned yesterday, Tosfos at this point introduces a very ambiguous kind of a phrase over here, which is called tikun ktsas. Now, somehow, magically, this tikun ktsas is going to satisfy the demand of Rabbi Yochanan within the context of Rabbi Shimon to create a meleches tikun out of makalkel. And again, what is this meleches tikun? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, Rabbi Avo, there's got to be a meleches tikun even in the case of Chovel. It's a tikun ktsas. We don't know exactly what this tikun ktsas is, but it definitely wedges between Rabbi Avo's understanding of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Avo would say that I don't need, according to Rabbi Shimon, a tikkun ktsas in the case of Chovel, Rabbi Yochanan insists that even Rabbi Shimon requires a tikkun ktsas. Umihu. Again, we haven't yet introduced Rabbi Yehuda. Well, everything now, the whole turf here is Rabbi Shimon. Umihu. Lo choshiv tikun she is chayev bekach l'Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos seems to be saying here that this tikun ktsas is enough of a tikun for Rabbi Shimon, meaning who's the one who's going to say that you're chayev in Chovel, even though it's a kilkul, a total kilkul. That's going to be Rabbi Yehuda. Do you see how everything changes here from Tosfos to Rashi? Rashi was the one who said that it was Rabbi Yehuda who requires a tikkun. But Tosfos is saying that Rabbi Yehuda never recognized the tikkun ktsas of Rabbi Shimon. The ein derech lachbol b'chavero litein lekelev the list of godish Bishfil Efer. According to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how can you call it tikkun? You're telling me it's a tikkun because he needs it for some extraneous purpose. That's called ein darko bekach, meaning it's not enough to say, well, I need it for something. I need this malach for something. That has to be a derech bekach. There are certain objective requirements of how you execute a malach, and it's got to be done in a way which is darko bekach, which is common and regular, and it's well established.
So you mean a tikkun ktsas can't be a tzorech?
That's what he's saying. It can only be a tzorech if it's something that's darko bekach. Now, I'm not sure, maybe David is right, that every case of Tikkun Ktsas is by definition ein darko b'kach. I don't know. I don't want to go that far yet. Maybe at some point I'll have to adopt that position. But right now, I want to say the following, that if we go, let's put on Rabbi Yochanan's thinking cap. Rabbi Yochanan says that according to Rabbi Shimon, Chovel is chayev for a Tikkun Ktsas. It's not a full-fledged Tikkun. And that's the word chutz. You remember the word chutz in the Brice of Rabbi Avo, that chovel is an exception to the rule. It's an exception to the rule not because the melech is kilkul, but because it's a some sort of a mixture of both kilkul and tikkun. It's a tikkun ktsas. And even though this tikkun is a very strange, unusual kind of tikkun, insofar as who would beat up somebody and draw his blood in order to feed his kelev, that's really an ein darko b'kach. Nevertheless, Reb Shimon says, since it's feasible, and in his subjective needs, that's what he wants to do, that's called darko b'kach. That's as if it's darko b'kach, a different kind of darko b'kach. And that validation of his need to feed his dog is enough to convert the chovel here into a tikkun ktsas. So let's for again, I don't know yet what tikkun ktsas is, but let's just for argument's sake, so that we can move a little forward, let's say that tikkun ktsas is some sort of benefit that is very far removed from the malacha. You know, it's like you have to have a dog, and you have to have a dog that likes blood, and you have to find the victim and beat him up and then take his blood. It's got to be the type of blood, you know, it's an O type or an N or whatever type of blood that the dog will appreciate. You know, if not, we're going to have to do transfusions and stuff like that. You know, whatever it might be, it's very far removed, but it's nevertheless a tikkun ktsas, because ultimately, after he feeds his dog, and you'll ask me, well, how did he get this dam to feed the dog? The answer is through meleches chabura. And that's called a tikkun ktsas. But then we have a different issue. And the second issue is darko b'kach. Every melacha should be done in some sort of a normal way. And you know, we're not dealing with insane, crazy people. We're dealing with regular, ordinary, sane people that use their power of intelligence. And here is where Rabbi Yehuda steps up and he says, I don't accept this concept of tikkun ktsas in this particular case. Why? Because to beat someone up in order to feed your dog with the blood of this victim, that's ein darko b'kach. And if it's ein darko b'kach, then that could not be a situation of meleches chabura b'tikkun. Rav Shimon, your tikkun ktsas is zero. It doesn't register on my scale. Uplukta demakalkel bechabura, and the machlokas regarding makalkel chabura is the following. Oh, no, I'm sorry. And where is the source, as Rashi says, for this machlokas? Because again, now we're reducing the machlokas to an issue as to whether tzorach lekalbo is enough of its tzorach to make it into a tikkun ktsas. Rav Shimon says yes, and Rav Yehuda says no. How does the Gemara know that tradition? And the Gemara answers, plukta de makalkel b'chabura, hechi mishkachas lo. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Uplukta de makalkel b'chabura de Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. Now please underline the next three words, is kimle lahashas, which means the Gemara knew it. That's all, forget about Rashi's kasha. Obe kabbalah, either the Gemara had a tradition, which is not recorded anywhere explicitly, but the Gemara had a tradition. O shema brisa shnuya b'shum makom. Or maybe the Gemara had a source of brisa. We don't know where that brisa is. So the fact that we don't know where the brisa is, that shouldn't in any way cast the shadow of a doubt on the reliability of the Gemara to quote such a machlokes. So now we're up to the words v'chi tema. So let's just summarize Tosas' shita as a substitute for Rashi. According to Tosis, the machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda about Makalkil, Bechovel Umavir, where the Yechayev of Potter is not related to or dependent upon the machlokes of Malacha Shein Etzrich Legufa, but rather that machlokes, the Gemara had a Kabbalah. Don't try to analyze and ask yourself, well, what famous, well-tried, well-known machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda are we basing ourselves on? No. We have no machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. We have a Brisa somewhere, a Kabbalah somewhere that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon argued about Makalkel, Bechovel, Umavir. Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan now have machlokes about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, what is Rabbi Shimon saying in the case of Chovel? Comes along Rabbi Avo, and he says Rabbi Shimon is the one who maintains that Chovel is Chayev even though it's Makalkel. And Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Shimon did not go as far as to say that Makalkil, pure Makalkil, without any element of Tikkun, is going to be Chayev in Chovel, but rather, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon certainly needs, at the very minimum, a Tikkun Ktsas. For example, he needs it for his dog. And even though it's a Tikkun Ktsas in the sense that it's so far removed from the actual Chabola, and he victimizes a human being in that case, and he takes his blood. And Rabbi Avo says that even if he doesn't need it for his dog, or whatever he needs the mavir for, or the afer and so forth, even then Rabbi Avo says that Rabbi Shimon would hold Yechayev, and that's because again of some Kabbalah, some Brisa that they knew. So there's no tikkun at all. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he says no. Rabbi Shimon requires a tikkun. For example, it's our kalvo, and even though it's so far removed, and we can only classify as a tikkun ktsas, but this is the exception of chovel, and chovel is considered a tikkun ktsas. And again, this is going to have an impact, of course, on the sugya of mila, because the Gemara is going to say that, how do we know that yechayev for chovel, even in the case of makalka, we know it from the fact that the Torah was matirit, was matir mila on Shabbos. Otherwise, it would have been awesome to do mila on Shabbos, even though he's drawing blood and he's weakening the child. It should be a maleches makalka. But the answer is, it's got some sort of a tikkun ktsas, whether it's the mitzvah, whether it's the fact that there's tikkun gavra that we discussed, or maybe arta aram mikrebech, all the various possibilities. And that makes it into a tikkun ktsas, says Rabbi Yochanan. That's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon of chutz michovel umavir. So initially, Rabbi Yochanan attacks Rabbi Avo and his brisa and says, puk tani livra. There is no such thing. Nobody could say, according to Rabbi Shimon, that chovel is chayev b'makalkel. No, that's not what it means. But then Rabbi Yochanan, after being very harsh, because again he's accusing Rabbi Shimon of a false libel against Rabbi Shimon that Chovel in a pure Makalka would be Chayv, that's not true. Now he's saying, you know what? I can still accept Chutz mi Chovel Amavra. I can justify the Brisa and assume that the Brisa is talking according to Rabbi Shimon. And what makes Chovel Umayra the exception to the general rule of Kol HaMakalkim Peturin? The fact that you don't need a Tikkun Gamur, it's sufficient to have a Tikkun Ktsas, namely Tzorach LeKalvo, Tzorach LeAfra. So according to Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon is Mechayev even without any Tikkun at all. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, no, Rabbi Shimon requires a Tikkun Ktsas. Now, what's the view of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chovel Umavir are potur, and apparently Chovel Umavir are potur even in the case of Tikkun Ktsas, because it's still considered Mekalkel. So it's Dafka Rabbi Shimon who holds that Yechayev in Chovel Umavir for Mekalkel. Again, two different concepts of Mekalkel. Rabbi Avo's definition of Mekalkel Gomur, or alternatively Rabbi Yochanan's definition of a Miktas Kilkul and a Miktas Tikkun, that's when Rabbi Shimon says Yechayev for Meleches Chovel. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that in Chovel Umavir, even if there's a Tikkun Ktsas, nevertheless you're potter. Why? And you could have said, because tikkun ketzas according to Rabbi Yehuda is not a tikkun, he doesn't validate such a tikkun. But Tosfos says it differently. Tosfos says the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter chovel mafi, even though you need the blood for the dog, is because that's not considered derech lachbol. It's not derech habol. That's not the normal, ordinary, well-trodden pathway as far as chavol is concerned to beat the late living daylights out of someone. Take his blood and feed it to your dog. Or to burn down someone's haystack because you need the afer. You find another way of getting yourself afer, but don't burn down his haystack. And therefore that's called ein derech habolo v'kach, ein derech mavir v'kach. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter. So who's going to be the one who says that chovel u'mavir achayev, even though it's v'kalkel? According to Tosis, that's going to be either Rabbi Avos Brisa, which is authored by Rabbi Shimon, and again, that's based on a Kabbalah, that Rabbi Shimon is the one who maintains that Chovil is Chayiv even in a total kilkul, or it'll be Rabbi Yochanan's version of Rabbi Shimon, namely that Rabbi Shimon holds that you're Chayiv for a quasi-tikun when there really is more kilkul here than tikun, in the case of Tzarech Lekalbo. So it comes out that Tosfos argues with Rashi, and Tosfos might hold that mavir eitzim, if a person burns fire, litzoref efer, or his chovel litzoref kalbo, that would be considered a malacha hatzricha legufa. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon would say that you're chayev, even though it's makalkel, because it has this tikkun ktsas. Now, what's the tikkun ktsas? Either he needs the dam for his kelev, or he needs the eitzim to be burnt up in order that he can get the, or the gunish, in order that he can get the afer, and he'll have afer. All those cases are called tikkun ktsas, and Rav Shimon would say, therefore you chayev for both chovel in tzorach lekalbo, or mavir v'tzorach liefer. Even though it's only a tikkun ktsas, that's called a tikkun. It's enough for tikkun, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for Rabbi Shimon to say that you're chayv. But Rabbi Shimon also holds that malach shein tzricha legufa is potur. So we're going to have to assume, and this is really going to be the headache that, I don't know, I don't have any optimism as to how at the end of the day we're going to solve this problem, but the real problem is that according to Tosfos, it comes out that chovil v'tzorach lekalbo, tzorach dam lekalbo, or mavir v'tzorach liefer, is called a malach atzricha legufa. Because again, you're in a bind here. You have to assume it's a tzricha legufa. We're talking in Reb Shimon's frame of reference. And we're saying that Reb Shimon is mechai of you in this half, you know, half and half, this chatzi evin chatzi ben chorin combination, where it's half makalkel and half tikkun, because the tikkun ktsas, he needs it for his kelev. In that chovel situation, Reb Shimon says you're chayev, and that Reb Yochanan validates that. But how can Reb Shimon say Yechayv? Reb Shimon also walks in and speaks to Gufa as potter. It must mean that somehow, magically, when you need the dam for your kelev, that becomes a malacha tzricha legufa. And that's really wild. Imagine a man burns down a haystack and he needs the afer. That should be a classical case of malacha shein tzricha legufa. He doesn't need the fire. He doesn't need, let's say, according to the Ramban, he doesn't need the fire. According to Rashi, he doesn't need the burnt eitzim, right? What does he need? He needs the afer. He needs the ashes. That's a classical case of malach shein tzricha legufa. How can Tosfos say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon says in those cases, you're chayav? That I don't know. So Rabosai, at this point, we break up for Chavrusa. We have to go over this Tosfos very well and try to finish this Tosfos. We made some progress in this Tosfos. And then, Yemir Tzashem, after we can say that we made a siyum on this Tosfos, we're going to go on to the Pnei Yoshua. And perhaps, Don, if you have access to that, what's it called, Sifriya, whatever it's called, maybe you could find the Pnei Yoshua. And I'll give you the exact Maramokum. I'll write it down on the blackboard. And then we can somehow print it out. Okay then? So we'll stop here. Okay, yes, sure.